Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. I personally take Super Beets when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beets gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at intelligentbeets.com. That's intelligentbeets.com. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today it's time for Q&A with Layla, special holiday edition of Q&A with Layla. A very happy Hanukkah, and of course a happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to our listeners who are celebrating. And so this is part two of today's Q&A with Layla. Layla Mutin, of course, Hoffman Center nutritionist, possessor of a RD degree, as well as a master's degree in the field of nutrition. RD stands for registered dietitian. So, what do we got?
Okay, we've got an email from Dana. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I suffer from recurring staph infections in my toes. Different toes, different feet. When I get them, I have to take strong antibiotics. I've been hospitalized for IV vancomycin. Is there anything I could do to make myself less susceptible? By the way, I suffer from Raynaud's.
Okay. By definition, when you take vancomycin, it suggests that you are methicillin resistant. You have MRSA, which is a very hard to treat type of infection. So things that we do for, we've had some patients with MRSA, and the idea being that they'll have a chronic infections and the antibiotics don't work anymore, so what can we do to boost their immunity or use natural botanicals to get rid of staph? So one of the natural, the couple of natural botanicals that we like, you know, of course, silver. We like silver. The silver products. And we use something called
Argentin.
Argentin. Spelled
the gel. A-R-G-E-N-T-Y-N.
Right. Art like... And that is available in a gel form, which would be nice for the toes, or a spray that you can spray. We sometimes use that for people who have sore throats as well.
But you know what?
Yeah.
There's information on Manuka honey helping fighting MRSA.
Yes.
Which is very, very exciting.
Yeah, so we have a Manuka oil product. It's actually not Manuka honey, but you could get Manuka honey. It's available. Honey is a natural, wonderful natural antibiotic. You could apply that to the toes. The other thing I could think of is applying oregano oil. Oregano oil has shown a lot of activity against staph, and you can take it internally. We have a product called oregacillin, which is a natural antibiotic, and possibly that you know, can circulate to the toes. If there's a circulatory problem, sometimes the toes may be more vulnerable because there's poor circulation, and that's why the infection is localized to the toes.
Other things that make you more vulnerable, if you're going to the gym and you're walking around in your bare feet in the showers and things like that, you might catch something.
Yeah, I'd like to find out what gym she's going to, because I wouldn't want to go to that gym. I mean, that's a concern. You know, you go to the gym and, you know, you observe perfectly good hygiene, but there are hundreds and hundreds of people who go there. That's why, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You remember that Seinfeld episode?
Which one?
With the one where, it's the same episode where George is peeing in the shower.
Yes.
But
okay.
There's also you've got to put a towel down on the machine, right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's an etiquette thing, is that, you know, when you sit on the machine, you should put a towel down, and you know, there may be people who have chronic staph infections.
Oh, yeah.
And you could catch something nasty from a sweaty body that you come into contact with because, you know, you're sweating and maybe, you know.
It's not just about catching cold and flu if you frequent the gym, you know. So, well, yeah.
So, so those are some. And then, of course, let's talk about things to boost immunity generally. What could you suggest?
Empower, AHCC, zinc, vitamin C. Olive leaf extract.
Selenium, perhaps.
Selenium. Transfer factor.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. That's the arsenal.
What's that mushroom product that we have that is...
Empower.
There's another mushroom product.
Mycophend.
Mycophend, yeah, which is a concentrate of mushrooms that we sometimes give to patients with poor immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
those are some things that might help. And certainly diet. I mean, we get people...
Yeah.
We had a kid once who came all the way from somewhere like Tennessee or something like that.
I think it was
Florida, something.
With boils.
Boils. And, you know, we got him on he was eating a lot of sugar, drinking a lot of soda, and of course that is a factor.
Yeah.
We got him on a cleaner diet, and that helped. The other thing is iron,
mm-hmm.
and iron's a two-edged sword. If you are iron deficient, you can have low immunity, but if you take too much iron, you can actually...
Feed an infection.
Feed an infection, because one of the body's mechanisms for fighting infection is to use lactoferrin, which pulls iron out of the bacterial... feeding loop, basically, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. bacteria utilize iron sometimes. So,
mm-hmm.
For example, you had somebody who's anemic and they have terrible infections, giving them iron pills may boomerang.
Oh.
It may cause the infections to explode.
Yeah, wow.
So,
Dana, a very, very low sugar diet. Sugar feeds bad bacteria. It also feeds bad bacteria in your gut. It also suppresses your immunity. You want a very strong working immune system, so watch your diet.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Best of luck, Dana. This next one is from Tim. Dr. Hoffman, happy holidays. I have a question about resveratrol. Apparently, Linus Pauling Institute has found that resveratrol is really not that bioavailable. What do you have to say about this?
A lot of things that are good for you are not that bioavailable. Resveratrol, as well as...
Curcumin?
Curcumin mm-hmm. is notorious for not being bioavailable. And the product that we use, the bioavailability is boosted by virtue of some synergists that are blended in with the resveratrol. It's called Longevinex.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, they've done some studies that show it's pretty bioavailable.
Okay. Thank you, Tim, for your question. Our next question is from Howie. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, could you please tell us your opinion on vegetarian versus vegan diets? My family does not eat meat, fowl, or seafood, but does eat eggs and cheese as well as all fruits, vegetables, grains, etc. I guess we follow an ovo-lacto-vegetarian diet. We also supplement with multivitamins. Our yearly checkups and blood work seem fine. What do you think of our diet versus vegan? I think a vegetarian diet is going to be more healthful than a vegan diet, but the fact that Howard's family is also taking a multivitamin is helpful, because normally what we're afraid of in vegans is that they will become deficient in things like iron, B12, selenium, very, very important nutrients. So as well as with vegans, we wonder, you know, we're concerned about low levels of essential fatty acids. A lot of vegans are taking flax oil, but that really doesn't transfer well.
If you don't have a good delta 60 desaturase gene, you're not converting.
And only 30% of us do.
Yeah.
And what, do that
there are
well.
Some things that actually interfere with that. Disease and alcohol and certain factors.
And not enough nutrients.
From converting your the precursors. The precursor vegetable oils, linolenic acid, that's an omega-3 to EPA and DHA.
Mm-hmm.
So
keep taking the multi. I would also
some vegetarian DHA.
Some vegetarian, from algae.
Yeah, so we have that product.
Exactly. So that could be helpful as well, as long as your biochemistries are okay.
Chi Omega is made by the same company that makes Dr. Hira's, and
mm-hmm.
It's a source of vegetarian omega-3.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Because that's...
ethical vegetarians.
Right. And vegetarian, again, I believe is better than vegan, because vegan, you're really limiting yourself in terms of where you're going to get your micronutrients from. Keep that multivitamin. Add an EPA, DHA, vegetarian version. That would be fine. Okay.
Hey.
All right, Howard. Best of luck. This next one comes from Dennis. I was reading an article on the internet that said, oh, please be careful what you read on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
That said taking sodium hyaluronate dispersed in cold water with sea salt, as opposed to hyaluronic acid in a pill form, is more effective for joint pain. What do you think of that?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know either.
Yeah. I think, sometimes products make claims that are based on partial science in order to get a competitive edge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a concern. So I'm really not sure that offers an advantage.
Yeah. And Dr. Hoffman, also for bones and joints, what do you think of a product called COACT, calcium collagen chelate, and natural eggshell membrane? I've not heard of these.
Yeah.
Anyway, the hyaluronic acid, I think pill form is just fine. Maybe some is absorbed through the skin if dispersed in cold water. But you were saying that you think it's probably not.
Yeah, I actually am thinking that hyaluronic acid is a relatively, it's been around for a long time, but it's something that is coming to become more interesting because it is helpful possibly for the joints. It's certainly helpful for the skin. We use it in some anti-aging skin products taken internally or even taken externally. We use HA serum now, hyaluronic acid serum, and that can be helpful. One of the new applications for it is there's some women who have vaginal pain on intercourse or vaginal dryness, and they can't use estrogen because of fear of cancer. And it's actually very helpful for that. Hyaluronic acid that, you use it on your face to make your face moisturized.
It holds moisture, yeah.
It holds moisture.
It holds
like
water.
Like 100 times or 1,000 times as much moisture as the molecule itself.
It'll puff up our skin and hold the moisture.
Yeah. So that is plausible there. But we'd have to do a little more research on that particular product.
Yeah. All right. Other things for joint pain. ASU, glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM. Avoidance of nightshades, the nightshade family of vegetables.
Curcumin, boswellin.
Mm-hmm. Tomatoes, white
collagen,
potatoes.
Type 2, mm-hmm. type 2 collagen, vitamin D has anti-arthritic effects. Niacinamide, mm-hmm. According to Dr. Kaufman in the 60s, wrote about niacinamide for knee pain. Carlton Fredericks used to talk about that a lot.
Carlton Fredericks, yeah. Okay. As I was starting to say, stay away from the nightshades. Those include tomatoes, white potatoes, peppers of all kinds, including cayenne and paprika, eggplant, and tobacco, even secondhand smoke. So
yeah.
That's very important.
That doesn't always work, but I'd say it's about a 30% response rate in arthritis to that kind of diet, which it's worth a try.
Yeah. Best of luck, Dennis. Okay, do we have time?
Indeed.
For another one? We've got a question from Marianne, who's very concerned about the vaccinations that her doctor wants to give her. Is a tetanus booster shot and the combination of the whooping cough vaccine pertussis, is it recommended? Is it safe for adults? What do you think? Tetanus shot should be had every 10 years, shouldn't it?
Approximately. It's a terrible, terrible disease if you get it. I think one of the problems with the tetanus shot is that some people are sensitive to horse, and it's usually, rarely, it's provided in a base of a horse serum, and some people can develop serum sickness, which is a pretty profound reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly not. One of the problems with the tetanus shot is every time you get an injury, they'll give you a routine tetanus shot, so it's hard for you to remember. They'll say, when did you get your last tetanus shot? And you go, I don't know. And, you may not have had one for 20 or 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've been in the ER with some kind of injury, they usually give you a tetanus shot. And, if you're severely injured, you won't even remember.
Yeah.
So, could you get too many? Is it harmful to get too many? It's a tough one. And there's this thing about immunity. It's kind of weird because what we're having now is we're seeing an epidemic of mumps among the NHL, Hockey League players, and 15 players now.
I actually remember that. That was awful. I had
an awful
mumps.
Thing. You just don't want to get it. But
yeah.
Now they vaccinate kids against mumps.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand in Canada, they don't routinely vaccinate or something. So most of these players are Canadian, but some of them are American, and they suspect that they had the mumps vaccine because they're young men. But it may have worn off. They had it as a child. It may only last for 20 years.
Wow.
And plus the contact there is very, it's real like in-your-face contact, and there's a lot of, sweat, mm-hmm. spit, you know, and bodily fluids being exchanged on the ice rink, as unpleasant as that may sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just an example of how a vaccine that we used to thought was offered permanent protection does not offer permanent protection.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Marianne, we hope that answers your question. Oh, you're going to love this, Dr. Hoffman. This comes from Bill. Dr. Robert Rowan's $40 Ebola cure, which uses the specific Robbins method of direct intravenous infusion of ozone gas.
Okay, what
You've talked about this before. What do you think of that?
Well, okay, I happen to know a fair amount about ozone because I did a lot of research on ozone in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, ozone is something that is a highly disinfecting gas, and it kills germs. But so does Clorox, and that doesn't mean that we want to drink Clorox or inject Clorox into our blood vessels because it's highly oxidized and creates a lot of free radicals. Dr. Rowan is a proponent of what's called oxidative therapy, and he's a very smart guy, and I respect him. But I have to say that the evidence is not really there yet. I see a paucity of research studies that show activity outside the test tube in the human body that shows that ozone gas eradicates viruses. Moreover, you know, the same oxidative effect can be obtained by administering intravenous vitamin C. Intravenous vitamin C, it's an antioxidant as oral vitamin C, but at the high levels you give intravenously, it becomes a prooxidant, and it generates hydrogen peroxide in the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if you want to administer an oxidative therapy, I think good old-fashioned vitamin C is a way of doing it, but you got to give, like, you know, 75 or 100 grams of vitamin C intravenously to get that effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something you can get by taking oral vitamin C. So anyway, so I look, also, you know, it's a little bit hyped up to say, you know, $40 Ebola cure. I mean, who knows? I know that Dr. Rowan, you know, God bless him for his initiative. He went off to Sierra Leone to demonstrate the efficacy of his ozone, brought his ozone machine and was ready to cure Ebola patients. That's very brave and very altruistic of him. But at the last moment, they pulled the plug on that experiment because the president of Sierra Leone said no, and he wasn't able to demonstrate that he could conquer Ebola based on that limited field trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also have to say, you know, I think it's... I believe, and I've written about this, that there are wonderful ways to enhance immunity and treat serious challenging diseases like AIDS and Ebola with immune support using various supplements, herbs, nutraceuticals. But I just hate it when people harness these dread diseases to advance an agenda. And the agenda is natural medicine. I think natural medicine can stand alone without making rather overarching claims about curing a dread disease for which Western medicine you know, doesn't seem to have a lot of answers. So, you know, and actually this echoes a statement by the Natural Products Association where they, and this is a group of, and the CRN, the Council for Responsible Nutrition, they joined together and they said, look, we urge our members not to make outlandish claims that by taking this or that or the other vitamin, you can protect yourself from whatever, anthrax, Ebola, whatever the current scourge is, you know, H2N2 virus.
Chikungunya.
Chikungunya, you know, what, you name it. Because while there's, it's plausible that some of these things could work, it's jumping the gun, and I think it's... you know, there's some level of scientific dishonesty in saying that you've got a cure for like a dread disease. So I wouldn't go there. And, you know, I'm just saying, you know, and ozone is a plausible thing. There needs to be more research. But I have to say, I backed away from using ozone after I spent time in Europe. I looked at the scientific papers on it. I did not find it to be the panacea that it was touted to be. Plus, it's oxidizing, It's got side effects, potentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm from Missouri on that. Show me. Show me the evidence.
Okay. All right, Bill, you heard it. From Dr. Hoffman.
Yeah, and with due respect to Dr. Rowan, who's an innovative guy who I really respect a lot. He's one of the great thinkers in the field of integrative medicine.
Okay. Do we have time for another?
We do.
Great. This comes from Michael. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, Gary Null recently said that the most powerful substance for reducing all kinds of inflammation and enhancing the immune system regulating blood sugar in addition
Wait,
to
but
being...
this sounds a little bit like the last question. It's like Robert Rowan says... And now Gary Null says...
And Gary Null says... But what Gary Null says is this amazing cure-all is black cumin seed oil.
Okay. A very interesting, you know, I actually looked at this, and first of all, I have a lot of respect for Gary Null, and Gary Null has been around forever. He was very influential for me to enter this field. You know, I used to listen to the radio, and I listened to Dr. Atkins and Carlton Fredericks and Gary Null, and they were inspiring in the days when I said, gee, I want to get into this field. I just found their stuff, you know, very, very eye-opening and... you know, got me going on this path. And what he's talking about there is a substance that has some very interesting properties. Black cumin seed oil has a really ancient history. They say that people have been using it for over 2,000 years. And supposedly there were samples of this found in the tomb of King Tut. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it was so great, because I think King Tut died, you know, he was like the boy king, so he didn't help him.
No.
Whatever he had, he didn't fix him. But, you know, these ancient things that are used traditionally may have some real benefits. So it can be beneficial for digestive problems, gas, colic, diarrhea, dysentery, constipation. It has infective properties. It may help the cardiovascular system by lowering blood pressure, lowering cholesterol levels, so it is said. It has been used topically, and it's one of those things that it's like one of those panacea things where, as far as I'm concerned, I think the science of it has not been as well developed as for other nutraceuticals like EGCG from green tea or ginseng or garlic or curcumin.
Fish oil.
Yeah, I mean, so let's investigate it further. You know, I'm not sure that it's going to pan out ultimately.
Yeah.
But I'm open to its use. Oh, by the way, one of the interesting uses, the word's highly touted, and I've actually recommended it to some patients, is for asthma.
Mm.
So I've said, why don't you get a hold of some black cumin seed oil? It comes either as an oil that you can take droppers of, or it comes in capsules. And it may have an anti-inflammatory effect in the lungs. So that's, you know...
That would be great.
I've just started some patients on it, and I haven't gotten any feedback yet. And if it pans out, great. You know, I'm all for it. Specifically, it seems to ease the side effects of a chemo drug called cisplatin, which is commonly used for ovarian cancer and other cancers. So maybe there's something there, you know. The hyperbole, you know. Look, I'm a radio guy too, and I know that hyperbole gets people's attention. You know, it's like the greatest thing since whatever, mom's apple pie. You know, the herb of the century that creates an amazing journalistic coup or breakthrough, and I'm always looking for new things and exciting things to share with people. But I'm gonna, you know, reserve judgment on this because it sounds great. I've just got to use it. You know, I go through three stages. The first stage is I hear about it. And somebody, I hear it's great. Okay? And there's a lot of things like that. The next stage is, let's look at the science. And is the science there? For some things, the science is not there. But that's okay, because it still might be beneficial because some things haven't been scientifically proven. But then I say, let me try it. I'll try it on myself sometimes. I'll try it on relatives. And sometimes I'll suggest it to patients if I think it's safe and worth a try. and then I'll get feedback. And, you know, my practice, the Huffman Center, our practice is a living laboratory for some of these new things. And sometimes things that sound great or highly advertised, in my opinion, they don't stack up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we this is where the rubber meets the road, you know, clinically with how it works in people in real life. And if I see that we're seeing those wonderful benefits, and if the science continues to develop on this, then I'll put it on my, you know, my hit list, my preferred supplements list. Right now, it's on my radar screen. I haven't quite wholeheartedly adopted it.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And, you know, and congratulations to Gary Null for being on top of an exciting new trend. I think there's definitely something potentially to it. So that's all the time we have for today's edition of Q&A with Layla. Keep those questions coming because they're good questions and they're of general interest. And we invite you to send your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And we wish you and your families a very, very happy holiday and a happy new year. And we'll see if we can crank out yet another Q&A with Layla for your listening pleasure before the end of the year. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.